Hello, welcome to South Sea Folk Discovered. This is a podcast that will offer a light-hearted view on the South Sea area, which I have a great commitment to myself. My name is John Sands. I run Spotlight South Sea once a week, so you can go onto YouTube and have a look for that. Catch that, and also I'm now working in conjunction with Louise O'Brien from South Sea Folk, so I'll hand over to you, Lou.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Louise O'Brien and I own South Sea Folk. It's a local magazine and it offers a creative and an independent vibe in the local area. And it aims to bring you highlights of culture, art and design while supporting the local independence that we've got in South Sea. So we've teamed up and our aim is to bring you news around South Sea in a relaxed way that you can enjoy.
Okay, welcome to South Sea Folk. And we got a little bit of a focus, me and Lou, with a normal chat. And we'll ramble around the subject and talk about art, which is specific in South Sea. I think it's a huge scene that's going on. And one thing I've noticed, I mean, we've got the big, like the Mydock Sides, its own, but there's so many other artists that are bubbling up, like Play Dead, like Mark Farker, we might get onto in a little while, maybe. What's your take, Lou? Because you've kind of come down, from up north. We were talking about that earlier. she had her vaccinations and she's all right. So, did you find a difference between there and here, or is it?
No, I wouldn't say that so much. I mean, Sheffield has got a really big street art scene up there, and I really got into that being my Northern Interior blog. I really got into it on an interior level of how street art has evolved, and a lot of people now want that in their homes, in their interiors, and especially places that we sit and eat and drink and cafes. I did a big feature on the fact that there was a great big wall done by a really cool artist I love called Faunographic. She always does birds and Faunographic.
So
I really started to really fall in love with the street art, you know, how it's evolved. And so when I came down to South Sea, I really felt like there's a really big focus here as well. There's a lot of Fark's work around, which we're going to get onto in a minute. And I really loved Rua Brooks' work as well. She'd done a beautiful piece on Osborne Road. It's just got a really cool vibe. And I think that'll grow. I think it's got a real focus to grow, which we can talk about in a minute.
Funnily enough, someone's just walked through the door. Who would that be?
Morning.
Just tinkle the cup together.
Morning. There we go.
Well, thanks, Mark, for coming along and being part of this. And we talked about that, the whole scene. Well, I had a question that bubbled in my head, and I do try to get them out there. Do you think Banksy started that all off, or was it going well before then and he just jumped on the bandwagon?
Mate, depending how I answer this.
Yeah.
I will, because
history. Luckily, yeah, I worked with the dude, so that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I worked with him back in 2008. He is what I would class as one of the pioneers, if you want to use that word, of street art. Because obviously graffiti has been around since
thousands of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, you can go right back to caveman. An explosion of it, though, late 70s, America gets bigger and bigger and bigger, goes worldwide.
Did that start in New York? Was it kind of the Bronx, the kind of...
My history isn't, like, I'm not some real history nerd. No. But there was two books when I was a kid... So, mid-80s? And two books came out. There's one called Spray Can Art and one called Subway Art. And they were pretty much Bibles for everybody, done by two amazing photographers, Martha Cooper and Henry Chalfont, who are still out documenting graffiti and street art now.
That's cool.
Mm. so those books sort of came over and they had everything that was happening in New York and around America. So like big artists that back then, you know, it's groundbreaking. They're painting trains using car paint. They're not using dedicated spray paint that you can get like you can now, you know, back then. So, you know, groundbreaking, you know, people like Futura, all sorts of, so you see these books. So there's that graffiti, but then street art has been around a long time, you know what I mean? Especially stencil graffiti. You can look at that. That's been used in political messages for God knows how long. You think punk scene, everything that. You know, so...
I went to the Banks exhibition in Amsterdam and we went to, you know, the Van Gogh. We went to the others. And Banksy really hit it for us. It was such a cool exhibition, which was... It just really hit home that, you know, he hasn't done it, you know, to he doesn't want to be known, be famous in the way that people big him up. It's kind of, you know,
it's
just a bit of a phenomenon with the way that his work gets out there and then you know, now going for all this money and you know,
loads and ridiculous amounts of money. But I would say he's one of the pioneers alongside got a Shepherd Fairey or Obey, there's, oh God, there's millions. Bleck Larat, you know what I mean? He's like a French stencil artist that's been doing it for donkey's years. So, yeah, but Banksy, I think, has put it into...
Do you think he's commercialised it in a way where it goes into people's homes more? Like, you could buy his prints. So, like, my son had one of his prints when he was, like, 12.
Yeah, exactly. It's that
more,
you know,
kind of, it's more accessible with...
Totally more accessible, and most people have heard of him because his artwork, you know, is so expensive, and it's on TV, and it's this, and it's that. Oh, Banksy's done a new piece. You know, it's massive. So I think it's definitely made people aware of street art.
Well, street art did have a pretty bad name. I mean, I saw the amount of graffiti that was around and the amount of stuff that was put on the walls actually wasn't that good and actually made places look horrible and messy and in my opinion. And then for me, I thought, actually, that's good. I like that. Someone's made some effort. They haven't just gone and tagged something. They've made some effort and put it on there. Have you seen that change or did you actually... admire what they were doing then, you know, as far as the general graffiti was concerned, on the trains, on everywhere.
I love graffiti. I'm not a graffiti writer at all. But, yeah, I love it and been very fortunate. And I know a lot of seriously, seriously good graffiti writers that have been in the game for a long time and... Yeah, it's phenomenal. I think it's tricky. I do like it, but I can see why some people don't like it because they look at graffiti and think, oh, it's messy. And it's like, oh, I can't read it. And, you know, they might not look at it.
Well, they're looking at it in a conventional way.
But don't you think it's a bit like there's a world, like there's a skating world, and skaters know skaters, and they support each other, and there's the graffiti world. Correct. So sometimes when John comes along and he sees something, he doesn't understand it, but that's because maybe there's been a message put up. There's a world there, isn't there?
Yeah,
where it's like a communication. And
any subculture. You know. Yeah, skating, BMX, punk, ravers, gatecrasher kids. You know what I mean? You all have your own vibe. Yeah. Everyone knows certain things. So I think if you're into graffiti, you would look at it and go, oh, yeah, the way that letter goes into that letter is really cool. And there's this drop shadow. Then there's the outline. There's a key line. There's like a 3D. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's so many little things. And each writer has their own technique, their own flair, special. So, yeah, you just look at it like that. Whereas street art, you can go, oh, that's a beautiful picture of a woman on the side of a building.
Yeah,
it's instantly recognisable from like a 4-year-old child can recognise it to an 85-year-old woman, whatever. beautiful. Whereas,
so what was your path into it then? How did you?
Oh, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
How did you get into that? Did you always love drawing as a child? You love sort of sketching out and
all the time? Like my dad always used to draw. I can always remember him drawing Spitfires, weird.
Yes, I did that as a kid. Yeah,
you know what I mean? What's that about?
Wow.
You know what I mean? But then he was.
What people are interested in, though, isn't it?
Well, he was here, like in. Mm. Well, he was in North End and during the whole war. So it was like, obviously, Spitfires of it, and we'd walk out, and only there's one flying above me now. So he was drawing what he saw, I imagine. Yeah. So he always was drawing. And then, I just sort of, got into drawing, really. Used to draw a lot when I was a kid.
Mm.
And then. Yeah, these books, like I said earlier,
did you buy those books?
Yeah.
Were they your Bible then and you followed them?
Oh, God, So there's me and a load of other mates at school. Like, everyone had a copy. And then, you just used to attempt to do something.
So were you one of those people the police were chasing around town then with your spray cans?
No, I've never been chased by the police.
Stopped
by the police,
never
been chased by the police. So I did that. Mm. And then I used to race motorbikes when I was a kid. And so in the garage of my parents' house, there's always spray paint. So it'd be like, and we used to take spray paint out of my dad's garage.
Mm.
And he does know this, so this isn't some huge confession going on. And then we'd go down, Fairham Park. And there was like a pavilion building and attempt to paint on there. But you're so nervous because you're like a 14-year-old child. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, my God. And, luckily, no photographic evidence. So, And then, left it alone. Then moved to Brighton when I was a bit older. And then in Brighton,
So did you do other things? Because I know I talked to you about the visual merchandising part, which was the whole creative design element in a different way.
Yeah.
So did you sort of just kind of spray paint? It was like your hobby, then you had to do other things, and then you came back to it.
Yeah, so I was working full-time, doing visual merchandising and shop design and everything like that. Right. And then always on the side was the whole art thing and the graffiti thing, and living in Brighton, met other artists. And because when I was in Brighton, I was running like a skate BMX urban clothing whatever shop.
Oh, right.
And so, with skateboard culture, like you mentioned, Lou, and BMX culture, and all of that, and snowboarding,
they sometimes sit hand in hand.
I've noticed is that
my son is a skater and a graphic designer and a musician, and I've met so many people that have been that, a skater, graphic designer, and a musician. Barry, for pure example. And it was like, I just thought, wow, this is like a real thing, where it's just so connected.
It's really connected.
I remember talking to you before about, you didn't always be distinctive with birds. You used to do lots of other things.
I used to paint everything.
So how did the birds thing come into place? Because that's what I can drive somewhere and I go,
That's Fox work.
That's his seagulls. Okay. That's his birds. So how did that come about then?
Okay, so I used to paint everything, a lot of manga stuff, anything really, and bizarre. But anyway, I was in Amsterdam, so I got invited out to Amsterdam for like a week-long series of painting, exhibition, gallery shows. So it was me and loads of other artists from around the world. So we were all out there for a week. In Amsterdam, just outside, there's a place called Flevo Park, which is like a Hall of Fame type. So everyone goes there to paint. It's really weird. It's very famous and a massive, huge half pipe at the end of it, which, funny enough, me and Barry were talking about Amsterdam the other day. He's like, I skated that ramp.
Who's Barry? Come on, people.
Barry is the legend that runs and owns
Hounds Barbers.
Ah, back, yes, that's
his
Harry.
Wife,
yes,
his wife is Rua Brook, who's a really cool artist.
But he's utter dude, and the only person that's allowed to cut my hair. So, yeah, out in Amsterdam, this whole week-long exhibition thing, and then so we were like, right, let's just go to Flavo Park to paint. So there's no pressure. We're not, you know, just go and hang out. So it's me, a guy called Flying Fortress, who's from Germany, London Police, who were like based in Amsterdam.
Wasn't there a guy, a Spanish guy that you
there's,
said?
There is, there is a Spanish guy.
I've seen
guy.
His work.
There's a guy called Pez.
Yes, I've seen his work.
Who is an utter dude. and we had met years before in Barcelona when I was painting out there. And so it's like, oh, cool man, how you doing? Da, da, da. And so we all went to Flavor Park and we found this big wall and we're just like, right, okay, let's paint. And Pez paints like a smiling, happy fish.
Yeah.
Which is really, it's just so iconic. He's been doing it for like 20 plus years, same character.
He's got a big toothy grin.
Big, that's it, massive toothy grin. Honestly, it's like everywhere. And he was like, where are you going? I was like, oh, I'll paint next to you, dude. And he's like, cool. And he's like, I need you to paint a bird. And I went, what? And he was like, can you paint a bird? And I was like, I've never painted a bird before, but go on. So, yeah, if it wasn't for Pez and all of us lot hanging out in Amsterdam, that's where the birds were born. So, and then come back here, and I absolutely have a weird fear of pigeons. Don't like them. So, you know what I mean? So, not that the bird is a pigeon. It is just a bird. It's just a bird. It's not a pigeon.
Apparently they speak highly of you, pigeons.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's good. But I think maybe, then I just carried on doing this bird, and then it's evolved, and then growing up here, and then living in Brighton for 20 years, and blah, blah, blah. Seagulls have always been around, but seagulls are actually, they're quite cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about, weren't we, about Pete Codlin about the whole mythological when he did the Soup of Souls, and how was this whole myth that actually seagulls are the souls of sailors?
I've never heard it before until I spoke to Pete, but
that makes them something
mythical.
Mythical birds, excellent. There you go.
Some people love seagulls, and I mean, we're in a conservation area here, so they just nest up here on the roof. So
when
you can hear them from
babies.
About 3 o'clock in the morning.
When they're having their babies.
Oh, yeah, and they have babies up here. And then they make so much noise and stuff, but I don't mind it, I'm used to it, but you hear some people say, oh, they get on my nerves.
But it's our fault they're there in the first place. They would not be here if we didn't have all the rubbish around, all the heat around, and we didn't destroy the habitat that they're in anyway. So I do complain, I must say, so I'm not, brilliant, but it's their fault that they're around. And I love the look of them.
And I love that you come to Southsea and then you sort of go down the seafront and there's the tea on the sea and there's one of your beaches.
Oh, yes, yeah.
It really distinctively makes you feel like you're in Southsea. That's a nice thing.
Yeah, I think. Well, they are everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've had an amazing creative year and you've started doing real, I've been to your studio that you're sharing with Bare Metal.
Indeed,
Mr.
Dwayne.
You really are doing bespoke pieces now, aren't you, and sort of selling them, so that's nice. So do you really see a big growth in the furniture part, or?
I've had quite a lot of commissions for, bespoke furniture pieces this year, and it's really quite nice, doing things like that, because, it's just different. So I love painting walls, It's like that's...
You did one of my neighbour's walls, number 3 Clegg Road.
I did your neighbour's wall,
But do you see anything, because seagulls are brilliant, love them. How do you see that evolving, though? What's the future? Have you got your eyes on something else?
What that I'm going to do next?
There's something different to birds. To me, you look like you're enjoying the ride of, this...
Well, this is just very nice. Just what it is. And if something evolves, it will evolve. There is something Yeah, there's a few pieces that I've done recently that are a hint to way stuff what you might see on the street changes to.
Okay. Interesting.
But, and possibly the pier. But yeah, I don't think the seagulls will ever disappear.
Oh, no. I would hope they would never disappear.
No, yeah. I think they might become even more of an army.
Ah, okay.
I want you to do a piece, like I said, didn't I, for Norfolk, to just, you know.
Yeah.
Because that would be really distinctive there, because nobody's really seen that there.
No, it's quite mad. Nice. Some seagulls have gone all over the place. Yeah, I've had to send seagulls to Germany, America. Oh, wow. Yeah, which is fantastic. Yeah, quite bizarre. That's so, nice. Yeah.
It's nice that you've got fans in other places.
So how do people get... So someone said, right, I want one of Mark's birds. How do they do that? I mean, do they have to go along to Bare Metal Industries, or how do they get in touch with you?
Contact us on Instagram if you want, or literally just come up to the studio.
Mm.
Normally there, try and be there always on a Saturday or a Sunday. Because that's when, you know, people can come by.
What's
see what's
Instagram
going
account?
So. Instagram is Fark, so it's F-A-R-K-F-K.
F-A-R-K-F-K.
F-K, yeah, so that's Fark-F-K. Everyone just thinks it's Fark, but it's not. It's really Fark-F-K, but that's another boring, long-winded story. But there you go.
What would you say to someone that was maybe 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, how would they go about getting some spray cans, just trialing things out? You know, do they need a great big MDF board in their back garden and just...
Or is there a step between? Is there a step between doing, like, for example, your Sharpie pens, that rather than, you know, having to then go straight on to spray paints? Is there something that can get you using the right techniques and whatever before you then go on to spray paint or not?
No, spray paint is spray paint. Yeah, which is, there's nothing real. Airbrush is close, but airbrush is totally different, really. It's a constant feed of pressure of air. Whereas a spray can, it's all down to your control or hand control or can control.
So I suppose, but you're right about that. But, you know, like getting under on deodorant, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you start off with something like a spray, you know, a compressed air spray thing, then that would give you a bit of an idea.
It would give it, it's a lot of, the main thing is draw, do some more drawing, and then more drawing after that. And you just, because a lot of it will come in the form of muscle memory. It's getting your brain to talk to your hand. So it's like, literally now, I could do an outline of a bird without even looking at what I'm doing, because my brain knows.
Well, it's all about that unconscious.
And the tension and the shape and just like, I get that.
But then, just keep drawing and then, if all is cool, get some boards in the garden or I could
do you sell the spray paint in your studio or not?
From, I can do some advertising. So I hate doing advertising. next year, studio space changes quite. Well, no, not dramatically, really. So my studio will still be at the front.
Yeah.
Dwayne, which is Mr. Bare Metal Industries, sort of anything metal, he can deal with it. He'll be out back. Downstairs, the basement turns into a gallery space slash shop. This actually, you're sort of first people to hear this.
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent.
Actually, this is going to go out, and I shouldn't really say that, should I? It's going to be a secret.
Is nobody supposed to know about
it? No, a few people know. So, we're going to, mix it up a little bit, do some shows, etc. You'll be able to buy spray paint. And then also myself and another local artist, Chris, will be doing workshops. Oh, so
that's what I was going to lead into, would you consider doing workshops for younger kids that, you know, love art but need some kind of focus? Maybe that's different to what they do. Yeah. Already.
Well, it is, I think, you know, I'm very fortunate, and I do a lot of work with schools. So I've worked with Harbour School quite a lot, and actually doing some work with some kids that are with St. James's Hospital. So I'm going in and doing a massive project with them next week.
Yeah. Where is St. James's Hospital?
St. James, that's down Lock.
Is it
over...
London?
No, Locksway... Road or wherever it is.
Oh, okay.
Is it near Portsmouth then?
Or yeah, it's in Portsmouth.
Is it in Portsmouth?
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it. Yeah. I learn something new every day.
You'd go, sort of mental illness. Things like that. Yeah. So it's, been there for donkeys years. Unbelievable building.
Is it?
But anyway, so that's really cool that I'm going to do that, because helping kids out is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic.
The energy you must get from that as well.
Well, definitely, because they come up with some just ideas that you would never have thought of. And it's like, brilliant.
And I love that you've got an artist that's been doing what he does for years, and then you've got a young little whippersnapper comes up that can just inspire you.
Exactly.
And how amazing is
that? No, that is. It's absolutely brilliant that he could do that. And then it's sort of, you see some of the kids, and they've had hard times, just for 20 minutes, they can be like, they're in there.
It's just a zone.
And you just see them when they finish, and they're just like, cheers, mate. And it's like, no problem, dude. You know what I mean? It's really cool. Mm. But yes, we are going to do workshops. So it's me and another artist called Chris. So he will sort of do like freehand type stuff, and I'll teach you how to do stencil type stuff.
What I can do for you on that then is I can come down and video it, and you can use that to advertise the workshops.
Cool, man. Yeah, that'd be rad. Yeah, that'd be good. So we're going to do that, but it's not just for kids, because so many adults have said to me, I want to have a go at painting, but I'm really nervous.
And so I'll have to wear a hat like that.
Yeah, you'll have to wear a hat backwards like you're doing now.
No one can see this, so I don't
Nobody feel... can, you don't, yeah.
This is Trust really me,
everybody,
funny.
It's absolutely
you look
ridiculous.
You're like Kevin and Perry.
is it like that way? I'm down with
a cool kid.
I'm down with the cool kids.
Yeah. Got to be down with the cool kids. Paint, workshops, all of that stuff. Next year.
So if people want to get any work done by you, they just come and visit the studio,
look at the workshops. Yeah.
Have a look at the wonderful little gallery space next year.
Yeah.
And have you got anything that's going to be coming up where people can see out on the street? Have you got any other projects happening?
Oh, God, there's loads over the next...
What's the address of the studio? Because we know where it is.
So it's Bear Studios, and it's 147 Highland Road.
Yeah.
You will not miss
it. It's the happening place, isn't it?
It's nice. We're just up the road. Because I've painted
the lamppost outside.
Lamppost, street furniture, anything.
The ninja knitters have been down as
well.
Park your car there for long enough, it'll have a seagull on it.
I had to paint the car on the side of the road the other day, actually.
They did give you the okay to do that.
They did give me the okay to do it. But we're just literally up from Play Dead, and it's cool. It's like, it's nice vibe up there.
You gave it an acronym. I can't remember what it was now.
This goes back to me and Barry talking. We've now made it the Highland Art District. The HAD.
I've got a sticker.
You have got a sticker. They're very rare at the moment, but you will see them more soon.
I haven't got a sticker, and I live near there.
We'll have to get you one out.
I've got a dog pin now.
Thank you so much for coming out.
No worries.
You're our last podcast of the year.
Really?
So, flattered. Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you, everyone, and
look forward to the future that is 2020.
Looking forward to what you're going to be doing next year. That's going to be a lot of fun.
There's an awful lot coming. Got to go back to Amsterdam, actually, in May.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, I know, in gutted.
Must be hard life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
No worries.
Pleasure, mate.
Thank you.
Cool, wicked. Cheers, guys.
Yeah, take care.
See you later.
See you. Bye.
Bye.